because we have a slide presentation or whatever, PowerPoint presentation, and my wife is going to help me with that. It's on. See the green? It's there.
The Madonna mic.
Yes, that's what it is, Madonna mic. Hello? Is that better? Is that good? Yeah. Can you hear me? Okay, it's just whatever. Whatever, I'll take it off as it happens. Well, we're really excited to be here. We're excited to be back. We're excited to see our good friends here and our good friends there and our good friends. It's all these good friends all over the place. We have a slide presentation that we usually take 45 minutes to give. We're going to condense that to like 15 minutes. All right? So these slides are going to... All right? But we wanted to share a little bit because some of you guys don't know who we are. We've been on the mission field for 13 years now. No, 14. It's 14 years. That's been a long time. We know because my son, my wife was 5 months pregnant when we went down there. So my son, when he turns 14, we know, we're 14 years here.
And Kim came down when I was pregnant and painted our house.
Yeah, it's all fun. Okay, so we're in Puerto Rico.
First year.
Great place down there. Go ahead. Puerto Rico is located in the Caribbean. It's an island that's 100 miles by 35 miles wide. So it's very small. It's like the size of Connecticut, all right? But we have... We have mountains in the middle. We have rainforests. We have deserts. We have lagoons. We have bamboo, which I didn't know. Being from Wisconsin, I thought bamboo was only in China. But that's not true. It's in the Caribbean as well. There's 3.7 million people in Puerto Rico, and 2.5 of them live in San Juan. So San Juan is a packed metropolis, okay? And this is how it looks every time you go into San Juan. Massive cars, gridlock. They'll turn 4 lanes into 8 lanes. It's really fun and exciting.
And then a motorcycle will come between them.
Yeah, a motorcycle will come between. And laws down there, traffic laws are more guidelines. And my wife was so happy because she didn't have to change her driving habits when she went there.
It's true. Yes. I have trouble here in Wisconsin.
Okay.
It is true.
Also, Puerto Ricans will say that there's 85% of them would say they're Catholics, even though they might go to a Baptist church or a Pentecostal church. They just say that they're Catholic. It's a very religious country down there. We pray before every school event, before every government event. And so people always ask me, why doesn't Puerto Rico become a state? There's one reason. Because that would change. Coming underneath the freedom of the states, they would have to not pray anymore and not be able to do that. So a lot of Puerto Ricans are like, hey, wait a minute, do we want to do that? They like the states, but they don't like the religious restrictions. Funny. America, freedom. Don't want to be a free... Anyway, so that's what... So God is a good thing. So we can speak about God, we can talk about God, and a lot of people are excited about God. But there are a lot of people that are very poor and that do not know about God, even though they say they were Catholic. Go ahead.
Okay. So, yes, we don't live in San Juan, thank goodness, with all those people and all that traffic. We live on the opposite side of the island, and it's like a completely different world. We have fruit stands still on the side of the street. You can just go, we have fishermen who still, that's what they do for a living, and they come, this is right outside of our house. Well, not that, the fisherman was. He's just going to go through because it's fast. So on our side of the island, it's kind of like a country, like here a little bit, as in countryside. And we do have a little town that's, like, it's actually the second largest city in Puerto Rico, but it's about 20 minutes away. So where we are, it's like, we live in the country. And yes, it's interesting though, because even though it's a small little tiny place, it's called a barrio, which is, I tried to find out what that translates to in English, and I just don't know. So it's like a little, that's kind of like a, but see, neighborhood is missing that. So it's not exactly the same word, but it's basically that like little
village, little community. Village.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's small. It's like in the middle of the country, in the middle of fields. Yet it feels like a lot of times like you're in the inner city just because of the conditions that are there, the poverty, the welfare, the drug points that are there, the teenage pregnancy, all that stuff. So even though it's like a tiny little town, like a small town, a lot of times it feels like you're in like the inner city ghetto. So
and Puerto Rico is very poor, even though we're rich compared to the to Caribbean standards. But the people, there's over 60% of the people are on welfare down there. Minimum wage is basically what people make. There is a rich community, but they're off, separated from really the working class and the lower middle class. That's where we minister to a very poor neighborhood. Like Teresa was saying, it's It's inner city situations in a rural area. You know, we're just out in the middle of nowhere, but we're dealing with all these things that gangs, drug fights, people getting shot with AK-47s. It's just crazy. And but the love of the Lord is great, and people are excited about what's happening at Camp Caribe. And that's where we are. We work for a little camp for kids down there. And when I first went down there, I became the camp manager. And then I became an executive director, even though I didn't know what that meant. And after I found out what that meant, I didn't like it. So I turned into being a director of one of the main ministries that we have down there. And it's called the MAT pillar, which is the Mission Adventure Team pillar. That's the people that come down from the States, and they help improve the camp. They minister to people in the barrio, and they get to have a lot of fun. And I'm in charge of all that. So I'm very happy that I'm not in the office anymore. This is camp. This is up on top of the waterslide, a 30-foot waterslide that work teams like youth groups built, all right? Little teenagers and stuff. They built this. And this is a quick overview right here in this building right here. This is the chapel. And the chapel is connected to a dorm, one of our cabins. Then we have the office, and there's a radio station in the background. Then we have a green building, which is dorm B, which is the second dormitory, the second place. And then you see the gap between the green building and the blue building. 2 years ago, a mission team from New Crossing came down and helped close that in, and we made a new kitchen. And a brand new kitchen that expanded, and we have outdoor bathrooms and a bathroom for the cooks that rejoice greatly.
They're so happy. Oh, yes. My goodness. They're like, we have a bathroom finally, because they would like be cooking, and if one of them had to go to the bathroom, they have to like run all the way across camp and come back. So happy.
There's the kitchen, and then the dining hall, and then we have the shop and the multi-purpose building over here. And right below us is the basketball court. And our house is 30 feet from the Caribbean Sea. I know it's very hard being a missionary, but it's very nice. This is right after a big rainstorm, but that's our camp. Okay, go ahead. But this is what I'm in charge of, MAT teams. And the MAT groups that come down, the groups that come down from the States, a lot of them are nervous because a lot of them are the first-timers. And parents, you know, sending their kids away overseas is like, what? No way. But then I tell parents, look, we have the American influence. We have McDonald's. We have the Walmart. We have all these things. But let me tell you, that you go into that place, and it's a different culture. All of a sudden, the volume down there is very loud. We're a very young culture, very active, very exciting, and very...
We came here, right? We get here on the plane, and we had to take a shuttle to get our car, and we're sitting there in the car, just my family, right? So there's like five of us, and we're sitting there in this shuttle bus, and there's probably like 15 other people, and they're all like this. Except for one little boy who is like going, ribbit, ribbit. But my family, we're just like, ah, blah, blah, blah. And Benjamin looks at me, he's like, Mom, we're so loud. I told him, if this bus were full of Puerto Ricans, you would not feel weird.
It's that's right.
Because we're in
right.
America.
That's right. And so I get to work these guys. And these guys are guys from Tennessee. They're from a fraternity at Union College. They heard about us. They came down. They never have any money. They just can pay for their food. That's it. So we make them work really hard. And they love it. They do concrete. They dig up trees. They make paths. They love it. But we play really fun, too. We also have, this is hand-mixed cement. You have sand down here with sacks of cement on it. We break them open. We have to mix them by hand. And that, we raise the floor in the chapel. And here is another part where we took out some bathrooms. This is Bienvenidos a CDC, which means Welcome to Campamento del Caribe. That's our name, is Campamento del Caribe, but we're changing it to Camp Caribe because all you can say Campamento del Caribe, right? Exactly. So we're changing it to Camp Caribe. We're in the process of that. It's not official yet, but we're trying to use that more and more often so people like you can say, oh, Camp Caribe, yes. Not Campamento. Yeah, okay. All right. But we also have a chance to minister to people, and this is a very exciting thing that we're seeing a soccer clinic here, and university from Waynesburg, Pennsylvania came down, and they brought down a bunch of physical therapists, and they wanted to do a soccer clinic. And so we started doing this, and the cool thing about that, go back. The cool thing about this is that the person up in front is from Tennessee. He's from the Union of Tennessee. He gave a chance to share his testimony. He's going to be a doctor, and gave a chance to share that, and they did some drills and everything, but the Waynesburg people that were in physical therapy got a chance to talk to the parents and show them how to wrap ankles and ice and, you know, help with their kids on injuries and got a chance to share the gospel with them as well. So not only was it a time for the kids to get invested on how to learn and play soccer, but it was a time for the parents to get, hey, these people care about me, not just my kid. And that was an exciting time. We also have schools that come, and we do different games and distresses. This is a distressa, which means a skill-building activity with a biblical point at the end. The kids have to cross from one side to the other without touching the ground on the spider web. It's kind of fun. And my job as one of the directors of camp is to think up games where kids get bloodied but not have to go to the hospital. And that's my job, so I really like it, and it's really fun. But we also play hard, and not only do the people come to our camp to experience what's going on and to see the ministry, but we also get a chance to see Puerto Rico. And this is, they get a chance to help the fishermen bring in the fish, and this is their livelihood. And when we brought all the fish in and they had a mild catch, you know, kind of minimum, they brought out fish and gave it to the kids that were helping these Americans. And they were like, oh, this is your food, you know, you know. And they were like, no, no, you take it. You helped us, and you were kind. And it's just really generous. The people of Puerto Rico are very generous to people that help them. If you're going to maybe standoffish and like, why don't you speak American? You know, they're going to be like, okay, I don't speak American. You know, I don't. But if you try to reach out to them and talk to them and incorporate yourself in the culture, they'll bend over backwards to try to help you. And we go up on a mountain. This is on a mountain with a lone tree. It's one tree on this whole huge mountain. And it's really a sight to see. You get up there and you see the southern coast and just a sense of accomplishment. It's very challenging. But just to see what God is doing, not just through his people, but through creation and how that screams out to how God has created us and loves us. And but all of this, these work crews that I'm in charge of, all these experiences we have is geared to helping camp run and touch lives. Your turn.
These are, so in the month of July, we have camp the entire month of July. And also throughout the year, we have different retreats, but most of it's like focused in July. And we have a week-long training camp for our counselors, which these are our counselors, some of them here. And they take worldview classes. They take leadership classes. They take, you know, how do I give my testimony? Because some of them are really new and have never done that, and they're kind of shy. And so by the time they get done with this week of training, they're equipped and their head is like stuffed and nothing more can go in it. And then all these campers come and it's great. You can go now. This is our cheeky couple, which is Logan's age, which is like 5 to 8 years old, which is like some of you guys come. And since their parents don't want them to spend the night, and we don't really want them to spend the night because they'll just be crying all night for their mom. So they come during the day and we have camp, which is kind of like a VBS, but it's just really long. And this year we had 60 kids come, 64. And half of them came from that little barrio that's right next to camp, and they couldn't pay. And so because of one of the MAT groups, instead of like using their money to build something, they used their money like as scholarships for the kids. So we were able to let like half of those kids come free. And it was so awesome. It was really cool being able to minister to them. And that guy right there, his name is Alexander, and he lives in that barrio, grew up in that barrio, and now he's one of our counselors. And actually this last year, he just went on his own mission trip to Costa Rica. So we have the privilege of seeing these kids grow up, come to camp, be impacted by God, and like their lives are literally just changed, and the course goes someplace that it never would have gone before without God in the picture, and do things like that. So it's really awesome. Yeah, you can just go. I'm going to talk. It's interesting because a lot of times I don't know how to tell people what we do because, yeah, John's a MAT director, and he does work projects and blah, 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 stuff like that. But in reality, what we do in Puerto Rico doesn't happen when work projects are going or when camp's going. The majority of it happens like in between times. When he's taking someone up to that mountain trip, he's had chances to talk to kids from the States who have doubts about God and who are like, you know, I don't even know if God exists, or if God exists, then why does he let this happen, blah, 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 stuff like that. That people, you know, just doubts that come into kids' minds, college-age kids' minds, and John's been able to talk to them. Same thing in camp. You know, a counselor will come because one of their campers needs a towel. So they come, they stop, and they talk to me. You know what? This is going on in my cabin. I don't know how to deal with it. And it's interesting how a lot of times during summer when the counselors come to be counselors, that's when Satan will bring up all their junk from their lives that they thought they'd dealt with. And then suddenly they're like focusing on themselves and problems that they've had that are reoccurring or just for some reason that girls especially, oh my goodness, girls can get so messed up just by believing like lies that Satan tells them, and it never fails. Girls come to me, counselors who are supposed to be ministering to campers, and then Satan for some reason, I just can't get this out of my head, and I know it's not true, but I can't. And so like, to me, that is where our real ministry happens, is yeah, program is running and those sorts of things, but the real ministry happens with conversations that we're able to have in those in-between times when someone's just getting a towel or bringing a kid to camp to the office because they have a headache and need a pill. And so we have these little conversations where you plant seeds of truth and you can just remind them, remember, that's not what the Bible says. What you're believing right now is not true. So you need to stop listening to that. And just, I love that sort of stuff. And it's awesome. And so, like, yes, we do all this other stuff, but the real whole reason is because God is wanting to invest in lives of the people in Puerto Rico. So that's what we do.
And you see these little faces. This is exciting thing to see, have a kid come to camp and then be impacted by what the Lord has done and is doing through games, through story time, through the verses, through relationships. And these little kids, a lot of the counselors you saw at the beginning started right here at this age and grew up through camp. And because of that training, because of that investing, they came back, and they wanted to invest more. And what Teresa said is right. We're not with the kids that much. We're just there to do the games that they might get bloodied in. We are just there to support our staff, and our staff is investing in those kids. And so our job is to invest in the leadership, the counselors, the other staff members.
Interns. Man, if you guys are like over 15, sorry. Yep. If you're over 15 and you don't have anything to do for the summer and you don't need to make money, come to Puerto Rico.
Yeah, there you go.
We had this last year, we only had two, but the year before we had like four. And kids come, and if you're really young, you're just going to be working most of the time and helping with camp and like doing behind the scenes things to help keep camp running. But you also have your own counselor, and you have Bible study and devotion, blah, blah, blah. So it's not just like you come there and work and that's it. But it's awesome. We've had so many kids who've come down for the summer, and then because of that, they are now missionaries themselves. So if you're floundering and you don't know what to do with your life, take a break from life here in Wisconsin and come down and visit
us. That's right. That's right. So that's what we do. We invest in kids' lives. We invest in our interns' lives. We have an open-door policy, so we have people in our house all the time. Teresa came home once and found six people eating at our dinner table, and she knew two of them. And we just said, well, okay. And how you doing? Get to know them. But that's how we are. We really don't have a lot of things that we hold on to as precious physical things. We just like to invest ourselves into people's lives. And that's a result. And so we just need prayer, because as you know, the older you get, the more energy you need and the less energy you have. And so, at 6 o'clock thing, that's why she punched him, because we don't want to get up at 6.
Yeah.
And so we need prayer, because we need energy. We need support. We need help against the devil, because, the devil doesn't sit back and say, okay, you're doing great, I'll leave you alone. When he sees something going great, he's going to try to disrupt that, okay? And so please pray for us. We need that in a big way. And pray for our family, because, that privateness that you guys love, we don't have. And my oldest son loves to be home by himself. He thought of an ideal vacation would be staying home, locking the doors, and just have our family by ourselves. My other two kids are like, let's go, And so we do need that prayer. Because our kids, the lifestyle that we have chosen, that God has called us to, is very open. And that can be hard on a kid. And we pray about that constantly. So we'd ask prayer from you guys that for protection upon our kids. All right?
Speaking of kids, I don't see that.
All right. So that's it. That's our presentation in a nutshell. You got the very speed up version. We have some great stories to tell, so if you ever want to hear some things and learn some stories or hear some stories, please feel free to come up to us. And like Craig said, we'll be here until the 27th, but then we'll be back on the 15th of November and be here until the 10th of December. So we'll be in the area. So we would love to get together with you, love to talk with you, just share what God has put on our hearts and stuff. Okay? So now I'm going to give a little bit of the word. So let's pray, because I feel like I've just been in a race. All right? Okay, let's pray. My Father, my God, I just thank you for this day, and I thank you for your ministry down there, and I thank you that it's so exciting. Thank you for giving me and my family a privilege of working there and being involved in seeing what you're doing. Lord, I just pray now that you will help my spirit, calm my heart, help me be clear, and Lord, just use me and speak through me to what you laid on my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, I always start out, I'm going through this book in the Bible, but I always start out every place I go to when I have a privilege of speaking, I always start out with some things. And just to set some ground rules of what I am about and what I believe, and I would like to get what you believe, too. So I want to ask, this is interactive, okay? So when I ask a question, you don't sit there. I know, being from Wisconsin, we're a little more subdued, but, you know, we want you to be a little more open, okay? So what is this book? Kind of beat up, but... What do you think this book? This book is a Bible, okay? And who can tell me what the Bible is? Word of God, right. And who wrote the Bible? A lot of people, but who was guiding those people? God, the Holy Spirit, right? Holy Spirit, be specific, God, one and the same. That's another theological something, but we'll go on that. So God wrote the Bible. And this book is important because this is where we find out about God and who we are, all right? And also... This is a very important distinction. This book is not a book about truth. This book is truth. That's a big difference, all right? Because when it's about something, that means there's a truth out here somewhere. When it is truth, all right? The Bible is truth, not a book about truth, all right? And religious people, you know, I grew up in a religious background, and I did this as a kid. I wanted to be David. I wanted to be Samson. I wanted to be all the good guys in the Bible. And, oh, I didn't want to be any of the bad guys. But you know what? This Bible is about bad people and Jesus. That's important to realize. David was just like you guys. Joseph, just like you guys. Job. This Bible is full of stories about bad people that God used for his glory. And the only good one in here is Jesus. All right? And so it's great to have heroes in the Bible, but remember, they're just like you and me. You could be that hero, just like Larry Boy. I am that hero. Anyway, you could be that person, all right? You could be that hero, all right? But that's some groundwork, okay? I wanted to set that, because this is where I'm coming from, okay? I believe this is God's word. This is truth. And this is a story about bad people and only the good person, Jesus, that we want to find. All right? So I would, if you have your Bible, if you don't, whatever, Jonah. I have been preaching through Jonah. I'm going through everywhere. So you get little snippets. You don't get the whole book. You just get little snippets. And I'm on chapter 2 now. And Jonah's in the Old Testament. And I have to give you some background about what's happening in Jonah. Okay, Jonah's this prophet. And a lot of people think that Jonah is just a one-time guy in the Bible. He has a book about him. Jonah, that's it. Well, actually, he's mentioned again in 2 Kings. He's a prophet of some renown. Renowning. He did some miracles and he did some things that were pretty impressive. He told about some different things that were going to happen. And that's Jonah, okay? So he's a servant of God. He's this guy that has direct relationship with God. God is talking to him, go this way, Jonah. And he's going, okay. Well, he gets a command from God to go to the city, Nineveh, and tell him that God's going to wipe him up. And Jonah says, go to Nineveh. No way. Okay? Now, I deal with teenagers and college-age students. They're always searching for what God wants them to do. What is God's will for my life? What is that? I know, because I was there. When I was in a small group with Craig and Jill, we'd be, Teresa and I would be sitting there for 5 years straight. You know, we'd be doing stuff in the medical field. I was going to be a physician assistant. My wife's a concert pianist. We were doing some great stuff, and we were doing youth group, and we were doing all this crazy stuff at New Crossing. And, East Crossing, but it was New Crossing. Anyway. We were doing all this crazy stuff, and then we would go to a Bible study, and we'd say, oh, we just want to know what God wants us to do. We want John, go this way. But we never heard it, and we were so frustrated to cry about it. But, you know, God can use you right where you're at. And that's what Craig kept on saying. Craig says, John, you're being used fine here. Don't worry about the future. Take care of yourself. Yeah, whatever, Craig. Where's God? You know, and... But Jonah, he had direct, like, talking, you know, God saying, Jonah, go. So there's really no mistake. Well, does God want me to go or not? No. I want you to go. And Jonah, I don't know if it was one of the first times or a lot he had a problem with this, but he said, no way. And the reason why is Nineveh was this city, this big, huge city in the east that kept on attacking Israel and taking all these people away as slaves and stuff and kept on abusing them. There was a wicked city. It believed in many gods. It was a modern city. It had a huge library. It had aqueducts feeding it for water. But something else that was very important about Nineveh, and this we learned from secular history, it's not in the Bible, but from secular history, a lot of things happened that prepared the city for repentance. And that was famines. The military lost a war right in the time of an eclipse. So gods must be angry. You know, they had famine, disease. They had two earthquakes. All these things happened during this time, right when God was telling Jonah, go to Nineveh. And the interesting thing, in chapter 1, we don't find out why Jonah didn't want to go. But in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, I don't want to go because I know you're a gracious God and you're going to forgive them and you're going to save them. What? As a missionary, I would be very happy if we had that turnaround. You know, the whole nation turned around and went towards God. Great. I wouldn't be saying, God, you are just too merciful. I want that country wiped out. That's what Jonah said. He said, I know you're going to save them. I'm not going to do it. I'm leaving. And it's interesting. It's debated. There's a few different viewpoints on why Jonah left. Was it because he knew God was so gracious tonight and he knew that God would work it some other way, or was he indifferent? He was like, no, I want him to die. I'm out of here. If I don't go, they won't get saved. And I don't know which view you take, but I lean to the point where Jonah was like, I'm not going over there. Forget that. I'm going this way. God, you do what you want to do, but I'm not going to help them. All right? And so Jonah gets on a boat, and Nineveh's here. This is Israel, okay? And here's a little Joppa where he gets in, and he wanted to go way over here to, we believe, the southern tip of Spain, over here. He's going opposite end of the world. Forget it. Not going there. That's kind of an extreme, you know. Most kids run away down the street or something, but this guy was going across the world, all right? I'm not going to do it. He gets on a boat. He's so comfortable with what he's doing, he goes down in the bottom of the boat and falls asleep. Well, during the storm, there's a storm that comes up, and these sailors, which are some of my favorite characters in this, these rough, you know, sailors, you know, I'm sure they were not like, oh, playing tiddlywinks, you know, they're rough and, you know, using a swear word every other word, you know, and doing a, you know. But these guys, I mean, they're sea bears, so they know the storm. They've been out there when there's been storms before, but they recognize something was going on. This storm is different. We can't get out of it. Something's going on. The gods are angry with us. They're polytheistic. That means they believe in a lot of gods. So they start praying. Everybody starts praying. And then the captain of the ship goes down and finds Jonah. So if you're the captain of the ship, you're about to drown, what do you say? Ah, just let him sleep. Now, what are you doing? Get out of the hammock. Get up. Start bailing. Pray to God. Maybe your God will take pity on us. Well, they cast lots. They find out that Jonah's the cause of this. And Jonah says, it's a great verse. He says, they say, what God do you serve? Who people are you? And he says, I'm a servant of the living God who made heaven and earth. I'm a Hebrew, and I follow that one true God. And their reaction is great in the story. Their sailors are like, okay, we're dead. You know, I mean, that's it. We're dead. You know, we got this guy. And they knew what he did. They knew he ran away from this God. Okay? So they're nervous. They're like, okay, we're dead. And he says, and they say to Jonah, what are we going to do? You did it to us. We're going to die. Is there no hope? And Jonah says, pick me up and throw me in, and it'll be okay. The reaction of the sailors is awesome. Well, now think about that. They're in the middle of a storm. They're about to die. They're like, pick me up and throw me. It'll be okay. Oh, what was your first reaction? Okay. Oh, whew. These sailors had more compassion on Jonah than Jonah did on Nineveh. These sailors, these unsaved people, these non-religious people, you know, that knew the one true God. They're religious in this other area, but they're not worshiping the one true God. They say, oh, we can't do this. This is, no, we're not going to do it. So they try everything. They bail, they paddle, they can't do it. And it's obvious to them they're going to go down, and so they pick him up and throw him in, and instantly the sea is calm. Now, as a person, you know, that has been through storms and stuff, what would you do if you throw or kill or do something to a person and it instantly stops? You'd be kind of intimidated, would you not? I mean, would you be like, okay, I guess that's the one true God. You know, and that's what the sailors did. They made vows, they sacrificed, they found out who the one true God was through the story. And this is where we pick it up. We don't have a lot of time, so hang on to your hats, all right? So in chapter 2 of Jonah, it says, from the inside of fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. I forgot to leave out that important detail. Jonah, when he was thrown out of the ship, he went down in the water, and he got swallowed by a fish. Now, some people say it's a whale. Some people say it's a shark. Some people, it didn't matter. Regardless, he got swallowed by a fish, and he was in it for 3 days and three nights. Pretty cool. Miracle right there. All right? So, let's keep reading. He said, in my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the sea, and the currents swirled about me. All the waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me, and the deep surrounded me. Seawater was wrapped around my head. To the root of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed. I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish to vomit Jonah onto dry ground. Little background in this chapter. First of all, we believe Jonah wrote this book, okay? Not because it says Jonah on the top, but we believe through the way it's written and stuff, we think that Jonah either wrote or dictated this report. And so this prayer, I'm wondering, for 3 days in the temple, you think when you go through a hard physical thing, something that's traumatic, and it's been over days, and somebody says, well, what happened to you during those days? Do you give a detailed count of everything that happened during those days, or kind of give an overview? Well, I almost died. I gave thanksgiving to God. I commanded it. You kind of give a synopsis, right? And so I think this is a synopsis, you know, a little short story of Jonah, what happened in that belly. I don't think it was a complete thing. I think he was, when he ended up in the belly and he sat there, wouldn't you think, what is going on? Shouldn't I be dead? You're looking at the fishes. Whoa, what is going on? So I think this is a little synopsis, and that's why I say this is important, because Jonah's giving a synopsis of what he was, where, when, how, long, why. He's like a short article of where he was in the depth of the grave, in the pit. And so we have to ask ourselves, where was Jonah when he was in the sea, in the belly of a fish, praying? Guys, I think it's interesting, especially in the culture I come from, that the Puerto Ricans, they think they can do whatever they want during the week, and then on Sunday, they take care of it. I wonder sometimes if we are not like that. We can do whatever we want during the week, and then on Sunday, we'll get right. Remember what your song leader was saying? I'm giving you the time now. It doesn't matter where you are, in a car, in your bed, day of the week, doesn't matter, in the office, in the bathroom, you can speak to our God and Father. He wants to hear from you. Well, I don't have the time. There's 10-second commercials, maybe not, 3-minute commercials. Seriously. Jonah was in the belly of a fish when he had to get, okay, it's time to come right before God. Now is the time. You don't have to wait till Sunday. You don't have to wait until you're in a car accident. You don't have to wait until your son's in the hospital. Now, be excited. So that's where Jonah was. We can pray anywhere, anytime. How long was Jonah there? Jonah was there 3 days, and it was a miracle. There's accounts of people surviving after being swallowed by the whale, but that's like in 10 hours. Not 3 days. And I think this was a miracle, because I think Jonah was on the verge of death, and God brought him back. Not because he had to, not because of what he prayed, because of God's great mercy. He brought him back. You know, we can pray for any length. It can be a short prayer. It can be a long prayer. I've known great Christian men that start a day in the morning with a prayer at the beginning and then never close it until they lay down in bed and then they say amen. And they talk throughout the day. I'm not like that. I have to go a little more formal. If there's a problem, the first thing I try to think of is God. Bring it before him. This toilet's not going on correctly. Okay, Lord, give me the patience. I have a person that is missing home. Okay, Lord, give me the words to say. Somebody gives us some money that we really needed. Thank you, Lord. You provided this. How often do we just pray little prayers throughout the day and recognize where these things are coming from? The hard and the good. The good and the bad. The tests. How often do we just stop in just a little prayer? Thank you, Lord. Help me, Lord. Your boss, you don't like him. Lord, help me. Help me be a good Christian employee. Little things. You don't get a speeding ticket. Thank you, Lord. That's easy, right? But how about someone else on the side of the road having problems? Lord, please help them. I can't stop. You know I would love to, but please help them. How often do we leave God out of the picture when we just go through life? God wants to hear from you. Put God first. Just acknowledge him. Why did he call out? He was distressed. Danger. Obviously, if you're in the belly of a shark or a fish, you're going to call out to God, right? I heard this story that there are no atheists in foxholes, right? And if you're in the middle of a war and there's bullets flying over and that you could die in a minute, suddenly God becomes pretty exciting, right? You want to know him. In your prayers, any emotion can come through. That's the exciting thing about God. God is big. God is awesome. So if there's fear and terror, pray that. Lord, I'm scared of my wits. I don't know what's going to happen. I might die today. I don't know. You're sad. Lord, I've lost a loved one. I don't understand it, but you are good and you are God. And I'm going to trust you, even though I don't understand it and I want to lash out. God, help me. Someone's sick. Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm at the end of my rope. Help me. God wants to hear your emotions. Do you? It's awesome. Who is involved in this story? We have Jonah and the fish, because that's pretty obvious. But we also have God. God is all throughout this story. God was in the beginning, God is right now, and God is at the end. God is there. God caused the fish to swallow Jonah. God caused the fish to vomit Jonah. And the next story, God's calling Jonah to do it again. Go to Nineveh. God is there. Guys, that's something that's very hard in our everyday life. You know that? In our everyday life, the mundane, going to work at 8, or getting up at 7, getting the coffee, showering, going to work, doing the work, go to lunch, get out of lunch, go back home at 5, make the supper, see the kids for 5 minutes, go back down, watch a little TV, go to the mundane. Where is God in your life? God is there. Recognize him. He got you to work safely. He got you home safely. Ah, that was me. I was driving. Really? Who was that person driving next to you that could have ran into you? You have a job. In this day and age, that's pretty important, just having a job. Do we recognize God in the mundane? Or does it have to be extraordinary? Guys, God is exciting. And I love, God is awesome. He's so evident in Teresa and my lives, it's just hard to get away from him. I can't take credit for anything. It's all God. And it's exciting to see that. And guys, you guys are looking for that God, or you know that God. Acknowledge him. Be excited about him. Jonah wrote this after the fact. And there's exciting things that happen in the next few chapters. But Jonah wrote this story after this had happened. And he's looking back on it, And the prayer that he came forward, guys, if you're having trouble on what to pray or how to pray, look at this chapter. Because the first thing he calls out, the first thing he says, he acknowledges where he's at. The second thing he calls out, who God is. You are great. You are awesome. You hurled me into the deep. You caused this. You caused me to go down to the depths. You brought me out. And I will serve you. Be exciting. It's exciting, you guys. It's awesome. Let's pray. My Father, my God, I just thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for the story of Jonah. And Lord, I just pray that as we go out this week, that we will be excited about being here on earth and serving you and you being a great God. Lord, just move in my heart. Give us the energy and the excitement to share with people and help us not to fall into the mundane and look at our circumstances, but look on you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being God, for being good, for being exciting in our lives. And Lord, help us to recognize you. In Jesus' name, amen.